Good morning. Life is a race from beginning to the end. Everyone is running a race of some kind, whether they realize it or not. There are only two racetracks open to a man in life. Jesus speaks of them in Matthew 7:13-14. One is a broad way, which offers many prizes, but gives none. The other is a straight and narrow way, which will give an everlasting prize to those who finish the race on it, a prize which is far beyond human valuation and comprehension. Many people in this world are racing in a mad whirl for material wealth. They get their eyes set on $100, then $1,000, then $1,000,000. They're running swiftly and grasping wildly for all the money and all the earthly trinkets which that money can buy. Yet Solomon, with all of his wisdom, his courts, his servants, and his great possessions, came to the conclusion that his wealth was but vanity and striving after the wind. In the New Testament, we learn about a rich man who made a run for wealth and accumulated it. But before he could enjoy it, his soul was required of him, and God looked upon him as a fool, not because he was wealthy, but because he didn't include God in his plans. Some are racing headlong through life, striving to find favor in the eyes of public opinion. However, public opinion is flexible, dangerous at times, and as changeable as the wind. Public opinion was that which placed Abraham Lincoln in the White House as President of the United States. It caused men to fall down at the feet of Paul and worship him as a god. It caused Christ to be hailed as a triumphant king. Then the backlash came. Public opinion assassinated Abraham Lincoln. It stoned the Apostle Paul in Lystra and dragged him out of the city left for dead. It crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and nailed him to Calvary's cruel cross. Friends, many in this world are racing for knowledge. The right kind of knowledge is a fine thing if properly used and applied. However, when anyone starts out in life with their chief ambition centered upon just obtaining knowledge, simply learning and learning and learning, becoming smart, outstanding, and brilliant in the sight of men, they're in for a bad race. Why, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have not love, then I'm nothing. Surely true knowledge is a valuable possession. We should seek to learn and expand our knowledge, especially in the things of God, the Scriptures. But mere knowledge is not enough. The race for knowledge is not the one which is all important. What then is the most important race in life? Well, it's the Christian race, which is run on the straight and narrow way of which Jesus speaks in Matthew 7. Friends, is that the race you're running? It's the only one that really counts. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you repented of the sin in your life and have been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? If not, then by all means you need to. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, following Peter's great sermon, the multitude asked this question, "Men and brethren, what can we do?" They realized that they had sinned and were guilty of the blood of Christ. Well, Peter tells them in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." You see, you need to start running on the Christian racetrack, friends. And if you've obeyed from your heart the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. But you still have a long way to go. You're in about the same situation as the children of Israel were in when they passed through the Red Sea and started toward the promised land of Canaan. You have a long way to go, a great wilderness to pass through. You have many obstacles to surmount and overcome before you reach heaven. But with the strength Jesus gives you, you can make it if you mean business about serving Him. Paul did say in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If you've started running on the Christian racetrack, that's super. But you must continue running. You must not turn back. You must not stop to rest in your spiritual race. Do you remember Lot's wife? When she was racing from the sinful city of Sodom, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Do you remember how the children of Israel wanted to turn back in the wilderness as they were traveling towards their promised land? They started remembering some of the luxuries they had in Egypt, primarily the variety of food, the leeks, the garlic, the onions. At times, they had actually wanted to go back, forgetting the fact that they were slaves while they were in Egypt, and now they're free men. But we must continue in the Christian race. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Do you remember Aesop's classic fable about the tortoise and the hare? It seems the hare was boasting about his great speed in running while at the same time laughing at the tortoise because he was so slow. Finally, the tortoise replied, "Let us make a race. I'll run a 5-mile race with you for a wager, and we'll let the fox over yonder be the judge of the race." The hare agreed, and away they both started together. But, of course, because of the hare's exceeding swiftness, he left the tortoise in a cloud of dust. The hare was outrunning the tortoise to such a degree that he made light of the matter, and thinking himself to be sure to win the race, he squatted down in the thicket beside the road and took a nap. He thought that if the tortoise did pass him, he could overtake him at any time with no problem at all. Well, in the meantime, the tortoise came jogging on with slow but constant motion, and while the hare, out of tremendous overconfidence, overslept. And by the time the hare woke up, the tortoise was one step away from the victory and won the race. Sometimes Christians are like the hare. They take off like a rocket and land like a rock. At first, they're all fired up for God, but soon they just fizzle out. What about those Christians? Well, what about a swift, strong athlete who would run part of the race and then stop to rest until the runners almost reached the finish line? What would you think about that runner? What would his coach think? What would be his chances of winning the race? The answers are obvious, aren't they? Now, what do you think about the Christian who runs like that? Can he really expect to be rewarded at the end of the race? The ancient Greeks were great athletes. They had developed the Isthmian Games, which took place every other year at a place on the seacoast about 9 miles from the city of Corinth. The athletes, only after months of training and exercise and proving to the judges that they were of pure Greek blood, were allowed to enter the race. In the great race, out of all the competitors, only one received the prize. So they ran with all their might. Each one exerted himself to the utmost. The Apostle Paul had learned a valuable lesson from these athletes. That is, that in the Christian race, we must do our best. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." In the Grecian race, there was only one winner, one victor. But in the Christian race, there can be many victors. You see, God does not reward us on the basis if we finished ahead of everybody else. He rewards us on the basis of how we run. You may not be as talented as others, as swift as others, but the big question is, did you keep running? Did you stay in the race and do your best? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but all those who love his appearing." And so we need to enter the Christian race, and once we've entered it, run as hard as we can. But one other thing we need to know is our goal. We must press toward the goal in this race. If we just ran any direction, regardless of where the finish line was, we'd never finish the race. The Christian is running towards heaven. To get there, we must study the Word, learn how the Christian is to live, and then strive with all his might to bring that into fruition in his own life. Hear once again the words of Paul in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Friends, there's a great crowd watching you run. They're wanting to cheer you on to victory, but you have got to enter the proper race before you can hope to receive the coveted victor's crown. Nor can you win with shackles on your feet or your back burdened down with all the cares and worries of the world. You must rid yourself of these and run with all your might toward the goal that you are determined to reach. The race will not always be easy, but if you press on to the end, you will be rewarded and there will be great rejoicing. We'll close the message this morning with these words from the book of Hebrews. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If I can assist you in entering the Christian race by your obedience to the gospel of Christ, or if I can assist you in a spiritual way, please call me at 330-682-3896. I would love to be able to help you in your Christian race. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.